Listen closely as Adrian Rogers shares why the church is not a building, but a body.
Learn the difference between an organism and an organization. The Boy Scouts, the Kiwanis, the PTA, all wonderful organizations, but not like a church. There's something different about a church. The church is not a corporation with Jesus as the president. It is a body with Jesus as the head. It is an organism. It has life.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the profound truth of the gospel simply stated in the teachings of Adrian Rogers. The body of Christ is not a building. It's not an establishment or an organization. It's a collection of believers with a mutual love for Jesus and a desire to serve Him. Each of us is somebody in His body of believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 shares what it means to be part of the church. If you have your Bible, turn there now as Adrian Rogers begins part one of You Are Somebody in His Body.
Would you take God's word and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And may I tell you that you are very, very important to this church. Now, the question I want to ask you is this: is the church important to you? The title of our message, You Are Somebody in His Body. Now, there are a lot of terms for the church, a lot of ways that the church is described. For example, the church is described as the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. The church is described as His building, not these physical buildings, but a spiritual building. With Christ the foundation, we are living stones. The church is described as an army, and Christ our victorious King, and we march under His blood-stained banner. Hallelujah. The church is described as a flock of sheep, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And Jesus is the good shepherd who leads His flock along. But the way that I want us to think about the church today is the church is also described as His body, B-O-D-Y. He is the head, and we're the members. And I want you to keep that in your heart. Now, I want to say of all of these things, whether it be a bride or a flock or a battalion, whether it be a building, whatever it is, all of these speak of community. And none of it speaks of individualism. It speaks of togetherness. Folks, we're in this together. The Bible teaches that we are members one of another. Now, if anybody says, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the church, they're showing their ignorance. Jesus and the church are not identical, but Jesus and the church are inseparable, like a bride, a groom, a head, a body, a foundation, a building, a shepherd, a flock. All of these go together. So don't say Jesus yes and the church no, because when you say that, very frankly, you're displaying your ignorance. And you say, well, I love God, but I don't love the church. May I tell you something plainly, and I hope I don't hurt your feelings. But if you don't desire fellowship with the saints here, you have no prospect of fellowship with the saints there. I'm telling you, just as clearly as I can tell you, that love for Jesus and love for what Jesus loves are inseparable. Now, let's look at the scripture that tells us that the church is a body. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made, A-double-L, to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. I'm going to stop reading there. We're going to read some more scripture later on. But there are four thoughts that I pray God the Holy Spirit will help me to write indelibly upon your heart today. If you're not a member of a New Testament church, you ought to be. If not this one, one somewhere. So this is good for everybody, wherever you are, by television or on the radio, whatever. I want you to listen to these four wonderful principles that are taken right from the Scripture. Now, first of all, as we think of the church as a body, the body of Christ, in a body, there is a manifested person. Do you know who's manifested by my body? I am. May I tell you that all you know about me, you know through this, my body. You don't know a thing in the world about me apart from my body. Nothing. Oh, you say, well, yes, I do. I could read what you've written. My body wrote that. You can say, I can know about you by what you say. My body is saying this. All you know about me, you don't know anything about me apart from my body. What my body has done or is doing is the only way you can know me. Now, there is in this body a manifested person. The person who is manifested by this is the person who lives in this, whose name is Adrian. And you know me through my body. How is the world going to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Through his body. Through us. Hey, that's kind of frightening in a way, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, how is this world going to know the Lord Jesus Christ? God is a spirit. And the spirit is invisible. My spirit, the real me that lives inside this earthly house, is invisible. Jesus lives in his body, which is the church, and Jesus is manifested by his body. That's why we're here. We are to manifest the Lord Jesus. In a body, there is a manifested person. The church is the visible part of the invisible Jesus, and Jesus is the invisible part of the visible church. And together we manifest the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a body, there is a manifested person. Now, there's only one who's ever lived the Christian life. You know what his name is? It's Jesus. He's the only one who's ever lived the Christian life. And if Jesus' life is being lived on this platform behind this pulpit, it'll be Jesus and Adrian doing it. It won't be Adrian. It'll be Jesus in me. If Jesus is manifested in your home, it'll be because Jesus is manifesting himself through you. If you try to imitate Jesus, all you're going to be is a little tin imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see these kids wearing these bracelets and adults too. What would Jesus do? Just the letters. WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's fine. I think that's great. But be careful. Don't get the idea that you're supposed to cook up what Jesus would do. As a matter of fact, what Jesus would do probably be opposite of what you think he would do. He'd surprise you. And then secondly, you think if you knew what Jesus would do, then all you have to do is do it? Do you think that you could do what Jesus would do? Do you think you have the strength, the power to do that? No, friend. Listen, nobody can be Jesus but Jesus, and it's Jesus in you that will do it. When you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Let Jesus tell you what he would do. And then when you say, Jesus, it needs to be done, let Jesus do it. Does that sound mystical to you? Friend, that is the Christian life. It is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And in a body, there's a manifested person. And in his body, which is the church, Jesus Christ is to be manifest. Now, have you got that? Let's move to the second point. Because really, this deals with you. So pay attention. In a body, there's also a ministering purpose. A ministering purpose. What is the purpose of my body? It is to minister to me. My body is here to serve me. My eyes are here to help me to see. My hand is here to feed me and to write for me. My legs are here to carry me around. My body is here to minister to me. We are here to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to minister to him. Now, my body is not to have any plans of its own. I would be afraid of my body if my body had plans of its own. My body is to serve me. I'm not to serve it. and it's only to serve me at my command. If I waked up this morning and my hand somehow had the ability to speak, say, good morning, Mr. Rogers. Well, good morning, hand. How are you? I'm fine, thank you. Mr. Rogers, I have some plans today. I'm going to scratch your ear. I'm going to shave you. I'm going to take a pen and write some words for you, and I'm going to shake some hands for you. I'd say, just be there. Just be there. I don't want you to have any plans of your own. I would be afraid of that thing. So many times we're telling Jesus what we're going to do for Him. He doesn't want us to do anything for Him. Does that surprise you? He wants to do something through you. Your body is here to minister to you, and this church is here to hear what the head says and to do it. That's what we're here to do. And therefore, we must listen to what our Lord is saying. We are to minister to Him. Now, we're talking about spiritual gifts, and we're going to show you that you are a gifted child, and all of us have been placed in the body of Christ in a particular function. And we're going to talk about different abilities. You want to discover your spiritual gift? Are you available? I mean, are you responsive to Him? In a body, there is a manifested person. The person who lives in the body is to be manifested. In a body, there is a ministering purpose. The body is to minister to the person who lives in that body. Over in Europe, after World War II, there was a cathedral that had been destroyed by the Nazi bombs. Some American GIs were there, and they had extra time, and they were helping to restore the old cathedral. And out in the courtyard of that cathedral, there was a statue of a likeness of Jesus. The statue had been broken, was on the ground, and they were picking it up and putting it back together and cementing the statue back together, but they couldn't find the hands. They found every part of the statue but the hands. No hands. Finally, one of those GIs made a beautiful plaque and put it at the foot of that statue. It said, He has no hands but ours. Well, the truth in that. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are you available? Are you willing to let Jesus be the manifested person in you? Are you willing to let your body minister to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His desires, His needs? Or do you say, here, my Lord, my hands are your hands, my feet are your feet. God put you in this church to serve Him. And if you think you've done God a wild favor by coming and listening to a sermon, and you call this the service, this is not the service. The service begins when you leave here. Now, God put you here to serve Him. Now, here's the third thought. Remember I said there were four. In a body, there's a manifested person. In a body, there is a ministering purpose. In a body, there is a motivating power. Look, if you will, in verse 13 of this same chapter here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, the life of my human body is my human spirit. There is the breath, the word spirit, pneuma, or ruah, in the Old Testament. It's the motivating power. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He's animated by the spirit that's in him. When Jesus died upon the cross, He gave up the Spirit. And therefore, his body then was lifeless for 3 days without the Spirit. You see, a body has to have a motivating power. Now, the motivating power of the human body is the human spirit. The motivating power of Jesus' body is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit of God, there is no power in this church. Learn the difference between an organism and an organization. The church is organized, but it is not an organization. It is an organism. An organization does not necessarily have life. The Boy Scouts, the Kiwanis, the PTA, all wonderful organizations, but not like a church. Those are organizations. There's something different about a church, the Holy Spirit of God. For by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body, and that one Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, granted, you can get a group of people together, get a beautiful building, get a man who can talk well, get the folks together, get them organized around some causes, and call it a church. But it may not be a church. It may be a wonderful organization. It may do some good. But friend, I'm here to tell you there's an absolute distinct difference when the Spirit of Almighty God is working, moving among His people. The church is not a corporation with Jesus as the president. It is a body with Jesus as the head. It is an organism. It has life. Now the Bible says, for by one Spirit, verse 13, have we all been baptized into one body. He's not talking here about water baptism in my estimation. He's talking about Spirit baptism. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. When does this take place? When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we receive Christ as personal Savior, two things take place at the same time. We are baptized into the body of Christ and we're filled with the Spirit. We've all been baptized into His body and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit of God, when I give my heart to Jesus and I say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. You died to save me. You promised to save me. If I would trust You, I do trust You once and for all, now and forever. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And then a miracle takes place. And the Holy Spirit says, now I'm placing you, Adrian, into the body of Christ. I am baptizing you into the body of Christ. Water baptism only symbolizes this Spirit baptism. I am baptized, verse 13, into the body of Christ. But not only am I placed into the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit is placed into me, and I've been made to drink into one Spirit. Just as I take a drink of water, the Holy Spirit just comes into me. So I am in the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is in me. That takes place when I get saved, and that makes the wonderful transformation. That makes the difference. And so when I am put into the body of Christ, there I receive my spiritual gift. When I'm put into the body of Christ, I'm put into the body of Christ maybe as an eye to see things for Jesus. Maybe as a shoulder to bear burdens for Jesus. Maybe as a hand to hold things for Jesus. Maybe as feet to go somewhere for Jesus. Maybe as a heart to love for Jesus. But God puts every member in the body as it has pleased Him. He places us into the body of Christ, and we're going to discover later on when we discover how to know our spiritual gift, that we received our spiritual gift when we were placed in the body of Christ. It's a birthday gift when you were born again. But also, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into you. You've been made to drink into one Spirit. It's right there in that verse 13. The Holy Spirit of God is in me, and I am in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And that same is true about you. Now, when I'm baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, I receive my gift. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I receive the power to use my gift for the glory of God. And so, in a body, there is a motivating power. Some people have the idea, and it's a false doctrine, false theology, that you get saved and then later on you receive the Holy Spirit. No, sir. This verse says, for by one Spirit have we all, every one of us, been baptized into the body of Christ and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you something very clearly. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Absolutely not saved. The Bible makes that clear in the book of Romans, where the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Now, who is the baptizer? The Holy Spirit. Who is being baptized? The believer in Jesus. Into what is he baptized? Into the body of Christ. When is he baptized? At the moment of his conversion, the moment he gives his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one is left out. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Romans 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, in a body, there's a manifested person. I'm manifested in my body. Jesus is manifested in his body, the church. In a body, there's a ministering purpose. My body is here to minister to me. We're here to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. In a body, there is a motivating power. The power that animates and motivates my body is my human spirit. The power that animates and motivates the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Now, here's the fourth and final thing. In a body, there is a mutual program. In a body, there is a mutual program. Now, we just read verse 13. Let's pick up at verse 14 and read this and see what Paul is saying. For the body is not one member, but many. That is, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christianity. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? That is, if we were all just one great big eyeball or one great big ear, like a rooftop antenna, where would be the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Now, in a body, therefore, there's a mutual program. You see, we are here, all of us, to do one thing, and that is to show the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to this community, to manifest him and to minister to him, and it is to be a mutual program. A healthy body is coordinated. The analogy of the church is the human body. The human body is organized. It has organs. It is organized. As a matter of fact, if you study human anatomy and physiology, you will stand in awe at the organization of a human body. And when you see the church, you're going to say, thank God for the organization of the church. A healthy body is organized.
And coming up tomorrow, we'll hear part two of this vital message. But maybe today you'd like to learn more about how to cultivate a faith that flourishes. Check out our Grow Your Faith page at the website, and you'll get grounded and dig deeper in your walk with Christ. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Grow Your Faith. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, you can go to that same website and request the title, You Are Somebody in His Body, or call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. This message is also part of the insightful series, Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gift. For that complete collection, all four powerful messages, call that number, 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You can also order online or purchase our new Bible studies, much like this message, in our online store. Just go to lwf.org/radio. Well, thanks for studying with us in God's Word today. Be sure to sign up for our daily Heartbeat emails, and you'll get daily devotions and message links sent straight to your inbox. For that encouragement, go to lwf.org/radio. And tune in tomorrow for the powerful conclusion of You Are Somebody in His Body, right here on Love Worth Finding. We love this note from a listener who wrote online, Pastor Rogers' preaching brought me back to God. I'm so thankful for his servant's heart and beautiful preaching. I will always be thankful for this ministry. You know, at Love Worth Finding, our mission is to draw people to Jesus and help believers grow deeper in their faith. And to thank you for your gift of support right now, we'd love to send you our new More Than Conquerors Bible study. The book of Romans can be for you what it was to the early church, a solid word for an unsure age. In this 8-week study, Adrian Rogers examines Paul's letter to the believers of Rome to show us how to live in the victory that the Lord has given. Request this resource when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD or give online at lwf.org/radio. And thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.